In the name of Allah, the most merciful and kind, you are about to listen to an audio representation of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. This chapter of The Sound of Sirrah contains vivid descriptions of acts of violence. Listener discretion is advised.
The first home I've ever had was the house of Arqam.
Assalamu alaikum, Bilal.
Wa alaikum wassalam, Iqdad. Did I miss anything? I know I'm late.
Yeah, brother. What's with that? You're always the first one here.
Umayya kept me late. I've been bottling oud all evening.
Ah, no wonder you smell so good.
All right, Suhaib. If you're done smelling Bilal, let's get back to the Rasul.
Ah, yes, of course. He was just telling us about the creation of the first man, Prophet Adam.
All right, Bismillah. I had nothing but love for that place. For the brotherhood, the spirituality, but most of all, him. Assalamu alaikum, ya Rasulullah.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, responded to Bilal's salam with a smile. The companions took their seats, lowering their heads in humility.
I never loved to look at anyone as much as I loved to look at him. And yet, he had such an aura to him, I can never look directly at him.
Please continue, Ya Rasulullah.
Indeed, Allah created Adam from a handful which he took from the earth. So the children of Adam come in accordance with the earth. Some come with red skin, white skin, or black skin, and whatever is in between. Smooth and rough, bad and good, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. The Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He does not wrong him, nor surrenders him. Whoever fulfills the needs of his brother, Allah will fulfill his needs, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said.
I remember looking at my own skin that night. I remember feeling special. But those days are over.
Wake up, Docky.
It's time for your regularly scheduled torture.
Bilal blinked. He wasn't in the house of Arqam anymore. Suhaib was on his right.
Please help me. Please.
Miqdad was on his left.
No. No, please.
Umayya ibn Khalaf, right in front of him.
I'll let you choose this one, Bilal. Do you prefer bullwhip or cane?
My name is Bilal ibn Rabah, and at the end of this ordeal, one of us is going to die.
Chapter 10. Ahadun Ahad. The first thing Bilal noticed when he woke up was the burning sensation coming from his bare back, which led him to conclude that he was on the sizzling ground. The second thing he noticed was someone was screaming, but he wasn't sure who. Rough hands grabbed him from all sides and pulled him off the ground, leaving behind some of his skin. The screaming ceased abruptly, and Bilal realized it had been his own voice echoing in the air. A shadow loomed overhead, blotting out the sun. His eyes struggled to focus, squinting to make out the figure of an obese man standing before him.
Listen here! You can scream and scream and scream and moan and whine, but I'm not letting you go until you come back to my gods! You understand? Mine, not Muhammad's!
Ahadun Ahad.
Alrighty then. You want to play games? I can play games.
The Banu Jamuh had set up a little umbrella and seat for him to sit and spectate the torture of his slave.
Oh, look at that. The vultures are circling above you. They know you're a goner. Tell you what, give me a nice little apology, and I'll pour some water on you. You're all burned up from the sun and rocks, so it'll probably hurt like the devil. But you gotta drink something, right?
Ahadun Ahad. Ahadun Ahad.
Ever since his master, Umayya ibn Khalaf, dragged him out to the desert a week ago, he had said nothing but those words.
Ahaduna had.
One God. In the end, that's what the whole affair was about. Umayya with his 300 gods.
You little cockroach!
Bilal with just his one.
You two, grab that fat rock over there and put it on his chest.
I'm going back to the city to cool off. Gonna have a nice meal. Fresh meat. The best bottle of wine money can buy. Have you ever had wine before? Huh? You cheap maggot. You ever eat good food in your life?
There you go. Now, don't go anywhere, all right?
The scorching hot rock pressed painfully on his chest. With no clothing to shield him, Bilal felt he was being baked alive. He could hardly breathe. The only thing that kept him going was retreating back to his favorite place. The air was cool. The pain was gone. He was back at the house of Arqam.
Bilal!
Abu Bakr! Rasulullah!
Are you all right, Bilal?
It's my master, Umayya, cruel as the devil. What should I do?
Never a believer is stricken with a discomfort, an illness, an anxiety, a grief or mental worry, or even the pricking of a thorn. Except Allah will expiate his sins on account of his patience, said the Rasul, peace be upon him. The sudden pain sucked Bilal out of the memory.
I'm back!
Should I remove the rock, Pops?
Not yet, Safwan. Listen, Bilal. I'm going to ask you a very important question. If you get it right, I'll take this rock off your chest, put you in the shade, and give you some water.
I don't think he can hear you.
Nah, he can hear me. You ready, slave? You ready to be graced by your master?
Bilal said nothing. He looked dead ahead at the circle of vultures in the sky.
How many gods do you have?
Bilal thought for a bit. He thought about how easy it would have been to give the answer Umayya wanted. But something deep within him told him no. No matter how much he wanted the pain to stop, to drink water and be untied, something deep within him told him Allah was more important.
Answer me! How many gods do you have?
One! Ahadun ahad! Ahadun ahad!
I'm gonna kill you! Then I'm gonna set your damn corpse on fire! Then I'll let my dogs eat up the dust of your bones!
The torture was relentless. Whippings and beatings and strangling, each method blurred into the next. But Bilal persevered, continuously saying,
Ahadun ahad.
And when the pain became too much, he would retreat back to his place of safety. Those pleasant memories with Rasulullah, peace be upon him.
O Messenger of Allah, Umayya said something today about the Muslims. He said, if Islam really was better than his religion, people like me wouldn't have beaten him to it.
The Prophet's captivating eyes urged Bilal to continue.
I just wonder sometimes. I'm not from the Quraysh. I'm not rich. I'm just another black slave. Why would Allah guide me to Islam?
Allah does not look at your appearance or wealth, but rather, He looks at your hearts and actions, he said.
And what did Allah see in my heart?
Faster! Come on, faster!
The horse sprinted across the rocks and thorns, dragging Bilal by his tied ankles.
All right, that's enough.
Umayya huffed and puffed as he jogged his enormous body over to Bilal.
Yeah, not so tough now, are you? You ready to be a good slave? You ready to say that I am your master and Hubal is your god?
What was it, messenger of Allah? What did Allah see in my heart?
Ahadun ahad. Ahadun ahad.
All right then. Have it your way. You two, go find a bigger boulder and stick him under it until tomorrow. Safwan.
Yeah, Dad?
Call your uncle. We're gonna need his help.
Are you sure, Dad? You know how he is.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Call your uncle.
Hours and hours went by. The boulder made his legs numb and his ribcage ache with soreness, but he persevered.
La ilaha illallah. No god but Allah. La ilaha illallah.
Bilal!
Bilal turned his head to the left. He barely recognized his friend, Suhaib the Roman. He was tied to an old dead tree, and his body was covered in so much blood and dust that for a second he thought Suhaib was dead, and the voice he heard was his imagination.
Look at what they've done to you.
They're just getting started. They won't stop until I disbelieve in Allah.
Then say what they want to hear. Your Lord knows you do not mean it.
I won't utter one word that displeases Allah.
Bilal, they'll kill you.
My life has no value anymore.
Do not say that. You will live.
Suhaib, you don't understand. One of us is going to die at the end of this. Umayyah, Abu Jahl, they all want blood.
This is how it ends. I've sold myself to Allah.
But why? Why must you die?
Because I have nothing else to give but my soul. Umayyah has taken everything from me. But only Allah can take my soul.
Bilal?
Yes, Miqdad?
Do you remember when the Rasul told us about Pharaoh's wife? The one who became a Muslim?
Asiya.
Yeah. That's right. What happened to her?
She died. Pharaoh murdered her.
Oh. Yeah.
She died for the sake of Allah, and Allah saved her from her evil husband and his wicked ways, and built her a house in Jannah.
Another day. The summer sun rose above Bilal. He could hear the whimpering of Abu Fukayha and the other slaves around him. But they hadn't gone as long as him without water. Eventually, every single Muslim had succumbed to the pain and uttered blasphemy under duress.
Is he dead yet?
Nah, he's still breathing. I think he's trying to say something.
Yes, slave. What do you want to say with your dying breath? Come on. I want to hear it.
Ahadun ahad.
You lousy rat!
Oh, poor Umayyah. You never remembered what our dear old pops used to say?
A squinty-eyed man with a black turban on his head approached Umayyah.
Give the bread to the baker, even if he eats half of it.
I've had it up to here with these bloody Muslims!
Oh, I'm sure. And I bet you've tried every idea in that black heart of yours. Like screaming at him, hitting him, and screaming some more.
Like you could do better.
I couldn't dream of the messed up stuff you come up with. But I know a bunch of lowlifes that probably could. And worse. But only if you want it.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Where are the manners of the Arabs?
Please.
That's better. And how are you gonna show your gratitude?
Oh, thank you.
No problem, Umayyah. After all, it's the least I could do for my brother.
Commotion disrupted the city of Mecca. People gathered in the streets to see what was happening.
Out of the way! Get out of the way!
Zayd ibn Haritha and Uthman ibn Affan watched Ubay ibn Khalaf lead a mob of thugs.
Here comes the king of the Muslim scum, Bilal ibn Rabah.
The city's hooligans, lowlifes, and drunkards rushed forward, dragging Bilal by a noose around his neck. Behind him, a dark trail of blood stained the earth, marking the path of his suffering.
Come on, bark for us, dog.
Scream for us, you dirty dog.
They prodded him with sticks, spat on him, slashed him with their razors. Ubay put his foot on Bilal's bloody chest and yanked on the noose.
Where's your god to stop me, dog? Kiss my shoe, huh? Come on, kiss it, I said.
One of the thugs smashed his wine bottle over Bilal's knee.
One of these days, slave, it's going to be your prophet standing under my boot. You hear that? I'm going to kill your prophet one day.
What do you want us to do with him?
Should we make him eat dirt?
It's a free-for-all, buddy. And last I checked, it's not a sacred month.
Which means?
Ubay threw a bag of silver at the thugs.
Do whatever you want with him!
Uthman and Zayd could do nothing but watch as the thugs dragged Bilal away, staining the street scarlet with his blood.
We have to do something, Zayd. They're going to kill him.
Believe it or not, Bilal, your master is a slave as well.
Oh, yeah? And who's his master?
Greed, the worst of them all.
Wretched is the slave of the dinar. Wretched is the slave of the dirham. Wretched is the slave of fine clothes and velvet, the Prophet, peace be upon him, mused. Bilal took a sip of milk, deep in thought.
Umayyah would say he worships Lat and Uzza, not gold and silver.
Do you believe that, Bilal? Think carefully now. Does Umayyah ibn Khalaf truly believe that Lat and Uzza are his gods? Or has his heart been overcome by something else?
Ahadun ahad. One.
What in the name of Kisra's crown is this? I thought I told you to take care of him!
Hey, don't get your turban crossed. I told him wicked serious that if he didn't stop saying there was one god, we was gonna bring the hurt.
He's still saying it, though!
Want me to really take care of business?
No! That would mean he won! That he beat me!
Nobody beats me. Nobody.
And so the torture continued. Heavier rocks, hotter fire, tighter ropes.
Ahadun ahad.
Why do you keep saying that? Ahadun ahad.
I don't know anything that angers him more than those words. Nothing is more detestable to him than one god.
Even with his black eye and bloody nose, Ammar ibn Yasir looked utterly shocked.
You're trying to make him angrier? Why? You can't win.
Even if I can't win, I can still make sure he loses. He won't get one word from me. Not one word.
We're not giving up, Bilal. And neither should you. If we die, Jannah is our home. They can torture us all they want. Allah is the one in control, not them.
On and on. Soon, Umayyah ibn Khalaf began to neglect his perfume business.
I'm not going back to the city. Not until you say what I want you to say.
The statue of Uzza, usually Umayyah's responsibility, was neglected as well. Its incense left unignited and unreplaced. Umayyah's obese body was drenched in sweat, his face red from heat and anger.
You're just a slave! A black-skinned, buy one, get one free commodity! My shoe's worth more than you!
Soon, Umayyah wasn't drinking water either. And though Bilal's body had long since lost all feeling, Umayya insisted on exhausting himself by whipping him non-stop.
Dad, come on. You should come home. We're getting worried about you.
I'll come home when I'm done here! What you got? Let me hear it!
Uh-oh. Is someone finally giving out? You ready to answer me? How many gods are there?
One.
Bilal became the spectacle of all the other Muslim prisoners, a source of inspiration.
May Allah give you strength, Bilal.
You keep your mouth shut. Umayya, you need to get a hold of your slave. He's causing a scene with the rest of them.
I don't want to hear a word from you. You focus on yours, and I'll focus on mine.
Dad, come on, please, sit under the shade. Drink some water or something.
I don't need your cruddy water. I don't need your bloody shade. I am Umayya. I am the Lord of Mecca.
You stupid black slave. You're gonna kill my dad. Just say Lat and Uzza. Just say those two names and we're done.
I can't. I won't.
Soon, all the spectators, Muslim and disbeliever alike, were left with a puzzling question. Who was torturing who?
You two! Help me get this boulder on him!
Broski, that thing is huge. Are you sure you want to drop it on him?
Am I sure? Oh, yes, I'm sure!
It took 5 men to carry the boulder. When it was placed on top of Bilal, the people were sure he would be crushed.
How is he still alive?
I don't know.
I bought you! Me! Umayya! I was swimming in gold when your prophet was herding sheep in the desert! I was eating roasted antelope and drinking wine while he was spitting out date pits! This Islam was so good! You think Allah would have chosen Muhammad to be a prophet? You think your God is better than mine?
No, stop this at once! You're killing him!
But Umayya ibn Khalaf had lost all sense. His eyes were unfocused, and he was circling Bilal like an injured predator.
You don't get to have your own thoughts. You're not even human so far as I'm concerned. You are a stain. A dirty stain I wipe off my shoes.
Both Bilal and Umayya were shaking. Bilal from pain, Umayya from rage.
I don't care if you die, but you're gonna die saying, "Who is your god?" Say it! How many gods do you have?
One!
Umayya collapsed on the floor. He slapped himself and threw dust on his own face.
Dad!
Umayya, get a grip!
Why? Why do you keep saying that? Why, Allah? Why are you doing this to me? I never did anything to you. Why do you punish me so?
Oh, great. He's completely lost it.
Dad, come on.
Suddenly, Umayya picked up his walking stick and launched himself at Bilal.
Die!
Umayya? Umayya ibn Khalaf.
Everyone turned to Abu Bakr, riding atop his camel.
Umayya, put that stick down.
This don't concern you, Abu Bakr. This is Banu Jamuh business.
I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Prophet. Man to man, merchant to merchant. I wish to buy Bilal.
I've already told you. I ain't selling him. I'm about ready to kill his stupid hide.
I've never known you to turn down a good offer. Look at this.
Umayya's greedy little eyes lit up at the bag of silver in Abu Bakr's hands.
Now look at your slave, Umayya ibn Khalaf, and tell me if he has any value to you.
Umayya looked down at Bilal's body, motionless, dusty, and corpse-like. His mind was racing fast. He eased the staff off of Bilal's neck.
How much?
I am willing to pay. Name your price.
Now wait just a moment. Umayya, you can't sell your slave. You were supposed to be teaching him a lesson.
He's brought nothing but misery to me.
If you do this, you're giving a rebel back to the enemy's hands.
Nah. You don't understand. That's my money right there.
This is more important than money. This is truth versus falsehood.
There's no such thing as truth or falsehood. There's only rich guys and broke tramps. And I ain't trying to be no bankrupt loser.
Umayyah gave a greedy glance at his guard in Abu Bakr's hands.
40 pieces.
Abu Bakr tossed the bag at Umayyah. He dropped to his knees and pulled the coins out, one by one.
Ooh, yes, very nice.
Abu Bakr and the companions heaved the rock off of Bilal.
Bismillah, help him up.
Bilal was barely alive as they pulled him onto Abu Bakr's camel. Abu Bakr held the reins and walked the camel away from the scene.
You know, you're really losing your touch, Abu Bakr. You could have haggled me for half the price.
Perhaps. But had you haggled me, I would have paid everything I had for him. Easy, friend. Get your rest. You have been through quite an ordeal.
The house of Arqam was filled with the refugees and victims of the Quraysh's wrath. A dozen freed slaves curled in corners of the room. The Prophet sat by Khabbab ibn al-Arat. They both had solemn expressions on their faces.
He never gave up. He never stopped resisting. He was ready to die for his religion.
The freed slaves in Nira walked in, carrying a water jug. Though Abu Bakr had personally seen Abu Jahl blind her, today she walked with unblemished eyes. But looking down at Bilal, he wasn't sure if he would ever recover. Uthman ibn Affan addressed Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr, who is left?
Amr ibn Fuhayra is free. So is Al-Aflah. However, Safwan ibn Umayyah is still punishing his slave. We have to free him as well.
Ammar.
Bilal croaked.
Unfortunately, Ammar and his family are out of our hands. They're not technically slaves. The Banu Makhzum offered them protection years ago, and they've been under their thumb ever since. Abu Jahl isn't going to budge with them. But perhaps I can purchase a Nahdi and her daughter.
Abu Bakr, let us help you. Buying and freeing all these slaves? Especially now, when the Quraysh won't buy from you?
Allah will provide for me. Watch over Bilal while I am gone.
As Abu Bakr departed, the Prophet, peace be upon him, stood to pray. Prayer was always his sanctuary whenever he faced distress. He prayed, his heart heavy with sorrow at the sight of his companion's weakness and helplessness. The fact was, Islam needed a strong and influential figure to champion its cause. O Allah, strengthen Islam with the one you love more of these two men, Abu Jahl or Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, observing the Prophet's prayer, was filled with wonder. He couldn't fathom how either Abu Jahl or Umar could ever embrace Islam. But then again, Khabbab figured if Allah was to answer anyone's prayer, it would be the Rasul's, peace be upon him. Bakery, Banu Abd al-Dar section of Mecca.
Welcome, sir. We are about to start a fresh batch of dough.
I am not here for bread. I have negotiated your emancipation from your master.
What? How?
You and your daughter are free. Your mistress cannot torture you for being a Muslim any longer.
Thank you, kind sir. May Allah bless you. My mistress said she would never release us.
Money seems to have changed that.
May we still complete this batch of dough? We do not like leaving a task incomplete.
You are a free woman. You may do as you please.
Abu Bakr stepped outside the bakery. His coin bag was now completely empty. He had to sell one of his camels to free Al-Nahdiya and her daughter. An old man leaning on a stick was watching him.
Son.
Father.
I see you keep purchasing and freeing these slaves. Perhaps not the best use of your savings, but I think I understand your strategy.
Do you?
Freed slaves never forget the favor you've done for them. They will remain loyal.
I am not freeing them for their loyalty.
That's not what Ubay ibn Khanaf is telling people. He says you owed Bilal a favor, and you are just repaying him.
I'm afraid he is a liar.
And I'm afraid you're a fool. If you're going to free slaves, at least choose strong and useful men who can protect you. Why buy these feeble weaklings clinging on to life?
I know what I am doing. I am seeking the pleasure of my Lord, the Most High.
Your shop hasn't seen a customer in weeks. How long will you last if you keep giving your money away to slaves?
Ammar ibn Yasir groaned. He looked around. His head was in pain, and there was a strange coppery taste in his mouth. His family was still at the torture site. The sun was setting. Why wasn't he released yet?
Ah, you're awake. Good. I thought you might have died on me.
Ammar looked around. His father was spread-eagled on the ground, completely unconscious.
Can't say the same for your old dad. I think he finally gave out. You hear that, Sumeya? You're going to be a widow soon. It's your dream come true. Now you can finally marry Muhammad.
Silence, you wicked man! You evil vow!
No! Please, just leave my parents alone!
His mother was bound between two poles, her body battered and drenched in blood. The torment rendered her almost unrecognizable. Desperation filled Ammar as he searched for help. But all he found were the somber faces of enslaved guards and the mocking gazes of the Banu Makhzum. Until he saw...
Rasulullah! Rasulullah, please!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, watched from a distance. Even in the setting sun, Ammar saw a deep sadness on his face.
You think because your dirty friend was freed that I'm going to let Yasir's family go? I am not hungry for money like Umayya. I'm here to prove a point.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, stepped closer to Yasir, Sumayya, and Ammar. Abu Jahl shrank back in panic, and for the first time, Ammar realized that Abu Jahl was genuinely and truly terrified of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Ikrimah! If he tries to step in, I want you to kill them all on the spot. We will consider it a declaration of war from the Banu Hashim.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, paused. His eyes swept over the struggling Ammar, the trembling Yasir, and the defiant Sumayya.
O Messenger of Allah, we will be patient. We will always be patient with whatever Allah has written for us.
Patient? Patient? Look at him. He doesn't even care about you. Your God doesn't even care about you. If he did, he would have done something to save you. What are you going to do, Muhammad? Are you going to stop me, huh? Let me see it.
The Prophet, peace be upon him's eyes, welled with tears. Patience, O family of Yasir. For your appointment is in Jannah, he said, before turning to leave. Ammar ibn Yasir's heart was filled with overwhelming sorrow. The Prophet had not come to save them. He had come to say goodbye.
You're a coward, Muhammad. You're a fool.
No, you're the fool, Abu Jahl. Our destination is Jannah. Yours is hellfire.
You want to go to Muhammad's fantasy land? Fine! What's one more dead black woman? I'll just buy another, and when I'm done with her, I'll kill her too! That's what you don't get, Sumayya. I can stand out here and torture you for another 70 years!
Mother, please.
At which point, I will still be saying, La ilaha illallah.
Just say what he wants! Just say what he wants! Please!
No! He is just as evil and twisted as the Pharaoh of Musa.
I don't even know who that is, you delusional, ugly witch! And I'm not letting go anymore! no more mercy from me. Not until you worship my gods.
He leaned in close, his face just inches from hers. Sumeya caught the stench of his foul breath and the disarray of his unkempt hair. He was screaming at her like a madman and shoving a little idol of Hubal into her cheek.
You are a worthless piece of filth, and you will do what I say, or I will tear you to pieces!
Take me instead! Kill me! I made them Muslim! I was a Muslim before them!
May you be humiliated and disgraced, O enemy of Allah!
Take me instead!
I will not be intimidated by you any longer. I swear to Allah you are even smaller and more pathetic to me than a beetle that I would step on.
Abu Jahl dropped the idol and rose up. His face went completely blank as he wiped the spit off of his face. He froze. His eye twitched. Then he grabbed a spear from one of his men and plunged it into her midsection.
No!
Take it! Take it! How do you like that? You want more?
Ammar shook and wailed. Yasid had his mouth open, but he was in so much agony, no sound came out. Abu Jahl gave one final thrust with the spear, and it tore through the other side.
One.
The Banu Makhzum laughed and cheered. Yasid struggled against his chains. Abu Jahl turned on him next and viciously stomped on his head.
Father, no!
He pounded him to the ground until his body was lifeless.
Ammar. Quiet down for a moment. I need you to listen very carefully. I need you to say Muhammad is a liar, or I'm going to rip your throat out.
Ammar!
Ammar! Come on, Zayd. The Rasul said we'd find him here.
There! I see him! Oh, no.
The companions came to Ammar and picked him off the ground.
I'm sorry, Ammar. I'm so sorry.
Zayd took off his cloak and covered the impaled body of Sumeya.
No! What have I done? What have I done?
House of Arqam, 3 days later. Although the Prophet, peace be upon him, had just delivered an inspiring talk on faith, the room remained heavy with an oppressive stillness. Bilal lay unconscious, stirring only occasionally to sip water before fading again into silence. Ammar ibn Yasir sat apart, withdrawn into a self-soothing posture. His gaze was distant, his eyes clouded and lifeless, as if his soul had detached and drifted far away from his scarred body.
All right, brothers. I think we should end it tonight. May Allah protect you all.
Ammar ibn Yasir remained motionless. The Prophet, peace be upon him, looked to his cousin Ali, who was sitting by his left side. Ammar's heart overflows with faith, up to his bones, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said cheerfully to Ali. Ammar was stone silent. The Prophet, peace be upon him, got closer. O son of Sumeya, your parents are the first martyrs of Islam. Ammar ibn Yasir finally looked up tearfully to the Prophet.
It's not my parents I'm worried about, Rasulullah. They forced me to disbelieve. I surrendered. I left Islam. I could have died like them, but instead, I said things about you.
How do you find your heart? He asked.
My heart? My heart is filled with faith and love for Allah.
Then all is well, the Prophet, peace be upon him, reassured. O Allah, forgive Yasir and his family, and indeed you have done so, he said. He recited the verse of the Quran. Whoever disbelieves in Allah after his belief, except for one who is forced while his heart is secure in faith. But those who open their hearts to disbelief, upon them is wrath from Allah, and for them is a great punishment. Outside the house of Arqam, Zayd ibn Haritha leaned his back against Mount Safa. Another figure joined him.
The Rasul has a task for you. It is of the utmost importance. If you are not able to achieve it, every single one of us is going to die. Can the Prophet rely on you, Ja'far?
You're listening to The Sound of Seerah, brought to you by Islam by Touch.
Doom.